The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Okay, we're back once again. Returning this week is Bernard Flynn. It's been quite an absence, but great to have you back, Bernard.
Thanks, Shane. Great to be here.
Once more, Eamon Doggett. How are you, Eamon?
Not too bad, thanks, Shane.
And Shane Mahon from Ladbrokes. Packed show coming this week. We've got a bit of Premier League. The Six Nations is back. Some Allianz League in both codes. And we'll dabble into horse racing, darts and snooker. But no better place to start than Liverpool against West Ham on Saturday, lads. The Premier League is back, third against 12th. What stands out to me here is Liverpool have 61 goals. West Ham have 34. You know, David Moyes is in there, obviously. Poole with 10 goals in the last four games. What are the odds, Shane, on this one?
Very, very short here once again, Shane, about home. Win 2-9 about Liverpool, 5-1 the draw, and 11-1 against about an away win. Couple of specials online as well. Firmino to have three or more shots, Henderson to win two or more tackles. We had a couple of these, I think, the last time I was on, and Liverpool to win 23-10, one of the specials online as well, if you want to mix it up there.
We can't really trust Liverpool to do anything except entertain us.
That is true.
They are absolutely brilliant. And then West Ham have Patrice Evra. I don't know if you saw it, lads, but this week he did a video where he pulled up in a taxi Instagram and started singing. Oh, I'd love to knock seven layers off.
You watched some of them. I've watched a good few of the past.
It's painful, isn't it?
It's unbelievable stuff. Yeah. Christ of Almighty.
I mean, if that happened in a GAA dressing room, what would you do, Bernard?
He'd be slightly disfigured, I'd say.
Yeah? You give him lots of it.
No, I wouldn't. I'd say the other fellas in before me.
What do you like for this game, Dame or Eamon?
I like Liverpool, I think. I know you say you can't trust them. In fairness, they have, their defence has looked a bit better the past few games. I think Van Dijk is settling in. He has made a difference. I have to say, full credit to David Moyes. I don't think he's got much praise for what he's done with West Ham. He's really
the fact that people have stopped going on about how rubbish he is not praise enough, because that's everyone's kind of said
true,
okay, he shut us up.
The kind of jokes have ended almost. He has done a very good job of shoring up, like with experienced players like Evra as a typical Moyes signing, get some of the old boys back. I think I read somewhere that their West Ham team would be a great team 10 years ago, but no, I can only see a Liverpool win. I can see them, I think they've got the best attack in Europe really at the moment for me.
Yeah.
Some of the football they play is just amazing.
And Mane's back in form after getting the hat-trick at Porto. I'd be interested in the goal scorers here, because I've never really trusted Javier Hernandez, the old little P, but he netted his 43rd Premier League goal against Brighton, and they've all come from inside the area. Second only to Tim Cahill, who has 56 of those.
Yeah, little piece. 10-1 for the first goal, Shane, about Hernandez. Interesting one, actually. Made a mind at work. We have a match bet from the start of the season. He gave me 7-2 about Hernandez to outscore Lacazette from Arsenal
right
the season. Now, of course, Lacazette out injured with knee surgery
for six weeks,
or something like that. I think he's 2 behind at the minute, and he has been in form over the last couple of weeks. I think Andy Carroll is still out at the moment for the Hammers. So I think he's on 7, Lacazette is on 9 or something like that. So 7-2 at the minute doesn't look too bad about
it. And Lacazette will probably be on the bench for Aubameyang anyway.
You would think so.
My tip here would be Salah first goal scorer 13-5. Not exactly the most original bet. Lads, where are you putting your money?
Don't go bet against the draw. Liverpool could do anything. I think last time I was in with you here, they were meant to hammer team, and they drew. I mean, was it 5-1 for the draw?
5-1 the draw,
And they've lost to Swansea this year as
honestly,
well.
Honestly, I mean, they do throw up horrendous performances at home like that. So 5-1 at the draw would be something to look at.
I was going to actually flag up, it's fairly short now as well, but I mean, you're looking at 2-9 about the Liverpool win. It'll be in plenty of accumulators, I'd imagine, over the weekend. But Liverpool in over 2.5 for a tiny bit more value, 4-6. You'd imagine there'd be plenty of goals in this match, and weak defences as well up against each other. So 4-6 Liverpool and over 2.5 for me.
If they have title aspirations in the next year or two, this is the sort of team that they should be steamrolling.
That's the thing, they've struggled to, as you mentioned. I mean, the likes of Swansea and these teams that, you know, they go out and beat Manchester City, everybody talks about how good a result that was, but they actually could have, that game would have went on 10 more minutes and they could have lost it.
I'll put this to you, Bernard, I'll start with you. What's more likely, Liverpool to win the title next season or Liverpool to win the Champions League this season?
Champions League this season.
Yeah, and that tells you everything about how
I don't think they have a chance with the consistency that's needed.
Because they up it for the big teams.
They do, you know, and they'll be hard beaten. I mean, if you look at United last night, they were shocking.
I mean, they were brutal. Anti-football brutal against Sevilla.
Absolutely terrible stuff. So, I mean, Liverpool, they won't win. I don't think they can, with Klopp I don't think the manager is capable of winning a league title.
You're a disgrace saying that.
Honestly,
he won the Bundesliga with Borussia, even when Bayern were ordinate.
But I don't think he's cut out for the amount of games, and particularly at the back. And just defensively, okay, Van Dijk, you're saying, is settling in, but I mean, overall, I think it's the full backs and midfield. You're talking about Henderson winning tackles there and that. I mean, I wouldn't have him next under Europe. Holy God of Almighty. I mean, some of the players that are playing with Liverpool are not up to it. Same at United.
Mm. So you mentioned Man United there and their anti-football performance against Sevilla, as Didier Haman called it. They have Chelsea at home Sunday at 2:05. It's second against fourth. Chelsea can draw level with United on points if they win this game. And there was that stunt last week. You know the way we've built this up as the Mourinho against Conte, because they had that spat, pretty bitter war of words recently. But there was a stunt at a press conference there last week where an Italian TV show presented Conte with a United shirt signed apparently by Mourinho and with Conte's name on the back, but didn't look amused. Mm. Is there going to be a bit of poison in this?
You would think so, wouldn't you? I'd imagine there usually always is.
They're usually boring draws, these Chelsea that, United games.
So. I think, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's usually, you know, more stuff happening off the pitch than there is on the pitch and on the sidelines with the two managers as well, I think.
I think
that's going to be an evidence.
Chelsea have showed the past few games that I'd never like saying they want to play for their manager, because they should be playing for the club first and foremost. But they're showing signs that they don't. They're obviously, they want to play for Conte. I don't think they want to see him get fired. And I thought they were really good against Barcelona. Okay, you can expect Barcelona to dominate possession, but I thought they played really well in the previous two results. Were easy wins for Premier League.
They hammered West Brom and Hull. Yeah,
and it'd be interesting, I think, as you flagged up, if he does kind of plays Hazard and the plays no striker, how he's going to, what tax he's going to do, because Morata and Giroud haven't been.
Yeah, Morata and Giroud are, they're two cheeks of the one arse, aren't they? They really are.
poetic way of putting it.
Big striker you couldn't really trust. Yeah. Did they play Hazard at number nine or false nine, whatever, you know?
I just felt the other night he should have changed. Just when they're playing so well, he should have. I think Conte actually didn't sort of switch it up a little bit. You know, they're just going to need that one chance to see Messi. But, I mean, not to play either of them until they actually bring him on to that draw, the goal, the weak Luizen goal. But if you look at it, I think it's a draw written all over Chelsea and Man United. Mourinho under a lot of pressure. I mean, I think there's players there. Look at Sanchez come in there for me, and I'm a United supporter. Mm.
He looks a different player. He looks just, shadow
but,
of,
he looks but they don't look on the same wavelength at all. His brain, his enthusiasm, and... He wants to get the game. He's looking at these guys around him and he's saying they're actually not good enough. That's the way you can see it.
I think with Arsenal, he was allowed to float around and do his own thing, whereas Mourinho has probably gave him all these things, defensive roles, and tell him to be here. I think he kind of sucks the life out of players. Like you look at Pogba, he doesn't know what to do.
He did the same with Hazard, of course. And
totally
then,
agree with that, absolutely. Yeah.
And look at
De Bruyne and Lukaku. Yeah,
exactly.
And Salah.
Mata. He isn't back now. Yeah.
And like when you think about it, he's got Pogba. Things don't look right with him, saying he can't play a certain position, or certainly that seems to be the mood around. Sanchez not looking brilliant. Lukaku looking like he can barely control the ball. His second touch is a tackle at the moment.
Like on paper, they have more than enough good players to play good football.
And then they're playing McTominay rather than Pogba. Well, obviously Pogba came on early against Sevilla. But like McTominay is just there. He doesn't actually really do anything. He just... waddles around chasing after a player rather than.
But even Rashford there and Martial, they don't really know their role. I think, are they on, are they off, are they in, are they out? Mm. I mean, Lukaku, he seems to be putting everything in. I mean, see his chance even last night, the effort at that volley. One chance in the first half, genuinely.
It's his all to play for one of the best renowned centre forwards that he has been in the Premier League when he was with Everton over recent seasons is pretty deplorable. It was just lumped up to him or even passed into him, and it was just coming straight back every time. His first touch is horrendous for a centre forward.
Nil all is 15-2 here. Shane,
worth a shout.
Yeah, what are the other prices worth looking at?
Worth a good bet, yeah.
15-2 about the correct score, and nil, as you mentioned. 6-5 United in the match betting. The draw is 11-5. Chelsea 23-10. Just to remind you as well, albeit you're talking up the 0-0 here, if there is a first goal score inside the opening 15 minutes, it's one of our many double odds matches over the weekend. So we'll double those winning odds.
Hazard 13-2 for the first goal. Like, we know he'll start. We don't know if Morata or what's his name, Giroud, will start. With United,
hurt. Fairness to Hazard, like when Chelsea have even been playing bad this season, he hasn't gone missing. He's been by far their best player, I think.
And we shouldn't ignore Willian either. He was incredible the other night.
He got a hat trick the other night. Yeah, in the post as well.
Another player that Mourinho kind of fell out.
Sure, why wouldn't he? Just to kind of put a gun to your head, lads, what way are you going to go with this? I'm going to go draw.
Burnley. Draw, definitely a draw. Yeah.
Definitely Chelsea for me, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
At Old Trafford. For you.
Shane? Well, I'm all over the draw as well. 11-5 looks a decent bet.
Yeah. Big game on Sunday as well. The Carabao Cup final, the other side of Manchester with City against Arsenal. Interestingly, 27 points between the teams in the league. But of course, if you want to dismiss that, you can actually say City lost to Wigan in the FA Cup during the week. So how relevant is it? Aubameyang, you'd imagine, will lead the line. Do you see Arsenal troubling City here?
Yeah, you could. You could actually. I mean, if you look at it, Man City let's say another trophy goes missing after let's say a week or so ago.
From the quadruple to the double, possibly.
You know exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly. So there is pressure on them. Few injuries. De Bruyne and fellas, well, they can keep it going. I just think the Champions League and the league is what he's all about. But a defeat to Arsenal, 27 or 8 points between them at the moment? There's a big gulf in class. But Arsenal in the final and the cup final, they'll actually be very hard to beat. So don't rule Arsenal out. What's the betting on that?
Yeah, a shade of just under 3-1, actually. Burner 14-5 about Arsenal winning 90 minutes. The draw 14-5 as well. City a shade of odds on here, but they've been plenty short throughout the season. They're 17-20 to win in 90 minutes.
David Ospina has been starting in the cup all year, so I mean, you'd obviously favour Peter Cech in front of him, but
Cech's been making a few mistakes, hasn't he?
He has, but still, Ospina.
I think he's well past his sell-by date, to be honest.
I don't think he's ever recovered from when Stephen Hunt gave him the old karate kick.
You have to bring that up. Come on, man. That's over a decade ago at this stage. I like the... You know I love a half-time, full-time.
You love that bet. Yes.
Yeah, I do. But like, you know when you're searching for a bit of value. But half-time draw, full-time City, 17-5. I like Gundogan for first goal as well. There's a lot of late surges into the box from him. He's 11-1. And one other bet, Aaron Ramsey has been a bit of a groin concern lately, but I think he'll be okay. He scored 2 FA Cup final winning goals and he's 12-1 for the first goal.
Of course, another double odds match here as well. So first 15 minutes, that'll go to 24-1 if he manages to net early. So
if I press G, I'm going to go City.
I think the one you just said there, Shane, is it a draw at halftime, City win full-time 17-5?
Yeah.
That's the one for me.
At the odds, I think my chance Arsenal. Yeah,
yeah,
3-1.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
Jeez, you're going against the grain today.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm in the same boat as Eamon. Actually, I think Arsenal might be up for a surprise.
There's value.
Yeah, there's a full round of Premier League games otherwise, but we haven't time to go through them all. We'll move on to the rugby, lads. Let's start the heroic music. The rugby is back.
James Stapleton's favourite sport.
Yes, enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. France, Italy. I mean, who wouldn't want to see that absolute rubbish? Scotland, England, and then Ireland, Wales. To be fair, Ireland, Wales. I'm looking forward to the game itself. As I always say, the game's no problem, but listening to the analysis of the scrum this week has been horrendous. So Tyke Furlong is out, apparently, and Andrew Porter or John Ryan, one of them will come in. The team hasn't been named as we speak right now, but listening to the endless analysis about the fact that Porter has changed from a tight head to a loose head, and does that mean Rory Best and Keane Healy are going to have to lean more in his direction in the scrum, and will Wales try and pin him?
It's all very technical.
Oh,
isn't it?
My God.
It's too technical.
It's guys pushing each other and they're making it sound like trying to figure out Pythagoras' theorem. It's actually unbelievably painful. Bernard.
I love your honesty.
Please make it better for me here. Analyse something that makes a difference here.
Well,
you hate rugby too.
I love the games. I really do love the games like yourself. But the very first podcast I did with you here and, you know, with a chat before and after, and I started studying and look at rugby. And I looked at other sports, soccer, and particularly the GAA, which is my first love. But when I look, and I was at Jamie Heaslip's, the big, they honoured him, the big function in Shelburne there last Friday weekend. I just, there's so much just that surrounds this rugby and the hype and the pedestals that these guys are put on. It's overanalyzed. It's not near as technical. I totally agree with you there, as they want us to believe. I just think the games are brilliant, but it's gone way over the top. I mean, it's like, they're removing it further and further and further from the ordinary person to want to love and care and share about it and to really get stuck into it. But the game, I think the betting is wrong. I think Wales have a serious chance.
We'll just get the betting from Shane. Yeah, yeah, let's just jump back in there.
2-7 about Ireland. Very short in the betting. The tie 28. Wales 3-1.
I think it's crazy because I think Henderson could be out as well.
Yeah, he's a doubt.
You know, Henshaw gone. And there's a few things. And I think Wales, you look at the squad and team that's been picked there, great bit of experience and strength and power. And Gatland, there's no guy that will just love to rip Ireland to shreds, tear up that form book. I think the betting is crazy. And Wales have a serious, serious chance, in my opinion.
And Eamon, I think you like the fact that Warren Gatlin put the smile on the other side of Brian O'Driscoll's face by winning a Lions series without him.
I know, I do like Brian O'Driscoll, but he's too much of a Mr. Perfect for me.
Yeah?
That's a big statement.
A very wealthy Mr. Perfect.
Just to go back to the scrum talk and all that, I think anyone who, it's an inscrutable sort of language unless you're in the scrum yourself and you've done it. And what I've seen all week is people who have never been in a scrum talking about a scrum even though they know nothing about what it's like to be in it. So you've people who don't know what they're talking about about it.
Well, I think the scrum has been scrutinised as one of the most, I suppose, annoying parts of the game for many years in terms of the amount of resets it can possibly take. It takes up a whole chunk of the game as well. And don't forget that, as far as I'm aware anyway, the clock isn't stopped for each time it's actually reset, so it'll take up a whole chunk of time.
Yeah.
It'd be a great start. That's an interesting point, because I actually did three times. I timed from the time the penalty was given there a number of weeks ago till the kick and till the restart. Yeah. Nearly 2 minutes.
Yeah.
140 to 150 seconds. Scrums, there's been 3 and 4 minutes wasted.
Yeah.
And resets 3 or 4 times, 3 to 4 minutes. You actually take the one thing about rugby, 40 minutes and the clock doesn't stop, there's probably only 15, 16, 17, 18 minutes of the ball in play.
Yeah.
That's a big problem for me in rugby. Yeah. And watch it is okay, but if you're at that sort of a game at times, it's awful to be watching, it there and then.
I've kind of made that point myself with people who play rugby and say, I think like the amount of time the ball is not actually in play, but their argument was, well, we need that time. It's such a fast-paced game. They need the recuperation time of a penalty or of a scrum.
A huge amount of players are just kind of jogging over and back to stay in line with the play. Like they're
obviously they are explosive, and there's no doubt, but they don't only have to do it occasionally. There's no doubt. And listen, look at the size of them, the hits, and we know all that end of it. But I just love to see the game being speeded up a bit. You know, really, there's no need for that amount of time wasted.
Just then the game itself, it's Sexton Murray against, surely they've got the quality over the likes of Big R.
You would imagine so. I'm just looking at a bet here. We're talking about Ireland being possibly a bit too short in the betting. If you do fancy an Ireland win, and you might think 2-7 is a bit too short, Ireland on the winning margin front to win by between 1 and 5 points, 4-1. About an Irish win between 1 and 5.
And this is Gatland's 100th game.
4-1 between 1 and 5.
Yeah, 4-1, yeah.
That's value.
Just on the handicap as well, actually, it's an 8-point spread. -8, Ireland is evens. Wales +8, so for there to be a try between them at the end, even Ireland to win by 7 or less, +8, Wales evens.
Jeez, that's not bad at all. That's not bad. It's Gatland's 100th game for the Welsh, and he's looking for a 7th win in 12 outings against Ireland
as well.
So there's very little to really suggest that Ireland could steamroller them.
No,
is that just all in our own heads?
I think they've learned an awful lot. The 12-6 defeat against England, I think they were a bit unlucky that day. Yeah. I really do. And it won't affect them. One thing about the Welsh, I love their honesty at times. I mean, if you look at it overall, it's their everything. It's their working man's game. I don't think you'll see the hype and the chronology that maybe goes on here over there. But I just think they love coming to Dublin.
Sure,
and
just
they would give anything to upset us.
Remember the World Cup quarter final in 2011? We thought all we had to do was show up and got. Yeah. I mean, played off the park. So,
I'd be worried about our midfield as well. A little bit of pace, bit of pace missing there. A bit of size.
But surely we just fly in another person from South Africa to play for us. It'd be the finest.
That's a touchy subject.
So why do we need Irish lads there at all?
Put ours in the centre. That's what I do.
Right, sure, he's Irish. Not sure that qualifies him to play there. I still think Ireland will win, lads. Gun to the head, Bernard?
You know what? That bet you just gave me 4-1, 1-5, Ireland to win. With Biggers back, I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. Good kicker. Hit Happiny there as well. That's the one for me. 4-1, 1-5 points win for Ireland.
I'll go a bit more conservative on the point margin. I think Ireland win, but I think 1-10 point margin is 7-4, so
yeah,
a bit less risky.
Not bad.
Yeah, I'm the same as Bernard. 4-1. I think there could be as much as a win in penalty between these sides come the 80 minute mark. So you know, Ireland to win 1-5, 4-1. Yeah.
So that's not the only sport going on our shores this weekend. There's plenty of Allianz League on. It's probably not the biggest game of the weekend, tipping me than the football, but just because it's your own county, Bernard, and because of the column from Paddy O'Rourke that appeared on the AIB GAA site this week.
Which that you were responsible
which
for?
Which I ghost wrote, yeah. I mean, you know, setting the agenda for the week, no big deal. It comes on the back of the Kieran Bergen article when he was talking about, you know, the commitment involved and the not being able to drink. And also the Brendan Bugler article, which I ghost wrote as well, where he's talking about the commitments and having to walk away from it. Bernard, you said... And basically, Paddy O'Rourke, to sum it up, said that he can't justify training 5 or 6 nights a week for 9-10 months of the year when basically Meath are not closing the gap. They have no hope of winning Leinster or All-Irelands, in his opinion. In his first year, he got an All-Ireland semi-final. Second year, won Leinster, robbed it from Louth, obviously. And from then on, they've just been drifting. So you were quoted this week, Bernard, as saying, if everyone takes Paddy's stance, we won't have any team. So that can't be the case. We can't say that it's okay for everyone to think that way. It's not okay. But the reality is, Meath are slipping and a huge amount of counties haven't a hope of winning anything.
Part of that quote, what I first said was, Paddy is entitled to do with his time what he wants, 100%. Yeah. And he's given 7 or 8 good years, Paddy O'Rourke. There's no question about it. His uncle was a very great friend of mine, a guy I played with. I've seen his uncle playing for 12, 13 years before he won a thing and killed himself. And I know there was a lot of hard work put in before. And Paddy... got his Leinster, as you said, we stole it, but he did get it. He got trips to Australia. Footballing's been probably fairly easy. He's a job there as well. I think that maybe might help him with when the football's going quite well. I have no issue whatsoever. The only issue I had was giving up your time because you can't justify putting that time into the game. That's no problem. But giving it up because you think Meade aren't going to win a thing, if everybody did that as a county player, you'd have one or two teams left.
But do you not see it going that way? Because you look around the sort of medium to poorer strength counties, there are a huge amount of players that aren't lining out. And the whole country at large doesn't realise it because no one's paying attention to them. But there's a huge drop-off rate in middle to lower strength counties.
But I actually do, and I've a column put together for next week or so.
In the Mirror? Of course.
No, just in the Mirror, absolutely. But I'm actually speaking to a number of managers and players. I do think we've got to be very careful, and there is people dropping off. The way the young man, a young individual today, thinks, the way I thought when I was young, is completely different, and I respect that. The modern times, completely different. But there's Philip Jordan's article this week, I thought was brilliantly balanced. There are thousands of young men putting in the effort to hurling and football, and ladies as well. Look at the commitment they're given. I just think the county footballer is not getting the respect that they deserve, the guys that are putting the effort in. And there is a drop off. There's a huge drop off in rugby. It's even worse. There's a drop off in soccer. But the inter-county scene, the club scene, you know, it's not maybe, it's strong, but is it as strong as we'd like us to believe? But what the county players are doing at the level, and you play with some of them, is incredible. I don't think they get the respect. And Paddy, the only issue I had was timing. It was a big game last Sunday. And I was up there, and I believe some of the players, it probably didn't help their cause. A big game.
Yeah.
And the second and last thing was, if everyone said, I'm out of here because I've no chance of winning nothing, there would be no county scene. That's my only issue.
Well, I still think that the problem doesn't go away. Even if you say that, and that's right, because you need players lining out for every county to keep the game alive. But the reality is, he is right. In his head, he's right. And there are many other people that's right for as well. It is hard to justify like I live with a guy who's on the Longford panel, and the commitment he puts in is phenomenal.
What they do is phenomenal, Shane. And incredible.
Yeah, the commitment is unbelievable. Like his diet.
Look at Dermot Brady for 17 years. What he done, and the piece there a few weeks ago when he retired.
But this lad is also living in Dublin, whereas Dermot Brady was living at home.
25 county players from Monaghan living in Dublin.
Yeah,
fourth smallest population in the country. Look at the way they represent their county and the way the love and commitment they have. They're a savage bunch. The Longford boys the same.
But I'm just saying that how sustainable is it over time to keep doing this? How many years are those 25 guys going to do it? Especially when 15 of them are getting game time, maybe another 3 or 4 are in or out. Like, it's very hard to continue putting that much effort into a team when, number one, you're not seeing game time. So they're the first ones that I'd imagine would drop off. And number two, if you feel like you're going to get nowhere in the future. I don't know. I think the weaker are going to get weaker because of this. And we can blame Paddy, and I'm not saying you are, but we could give out about the like. I know you're not, but you have the likes of Stephen Wallace, the Offaly manager, saying it's nonsense and all that. But if people don't listen and realise that there needs to be you know, certain changes in GAA, like tightening up that calendar so it's not 8 or 9 months per year that you're doing this.
I agree.
Make it a shorter window. But
it's a fair point, but I do think there's an awful lot more to be had. What are the guys going to do? Have any of you actually trained and coached young guys that are at college and 20, 21, 22? Look at the difference in the guys that are doing nothing.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, I have a young lad, daughters, all that, and I coach and manage. I know what goes on out there and the difference. To be involved in a serious setup like that, and even in club, it's huge. But at county, I believe that at some stage, and I'm selfishly saying this from my point of view, unless we get a group of players and people who buy into wanting to do it really for the right reasons, we're going nowhere.
Mm.
We are going nowhere.
So just then to link back into the game this weekend, Tip against Meath. Tip started off the year well with a win down in Cork and then managed to somehow turn victory into defeat against Roscommon. What are the prices here?
Yeah, a bit of a coin toss of in terms of betting perspective. Anyway, Shane, Tip at 5-6, the draw 15-2, Meath 6-5 against. Only 1 point in the handicap as well. Tip -1, 6-5, Meath +1, 5-6.
I think I could maybe have the bet of the weekend for our listeners, if you don't mind me saying, we did have a chat before. I actually said it before because I was dying to know. I think two open teams, they score goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over 2.5 goals is 11-4, am I right? Mm-hmm. That is incredible. Tipperary and Meath down at a big pitch down in Tip.
The good field, yeah.
Big field, as you well know.
Although
about
it's in
it.
A little bit of shit at the moment, to be fair.
But I tell you, I think there'll be at least 3 goals between the two teams, 11-4. That's the bet. For me,
Tip between 1 and 3 points is 11-4 as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow, there's two.
That's not bad, yeah.
Double up on those.
Does it hurt you to see what is basically a hurling county? I'm a Tipperary man, but it is effectively a hurling county with football pockets just being kind of ranked more or less side by side with Meath.
Listen, it hurts me Meath aren't competing. I don't think there's no way of hiding the fact we don't have the quality. That Dublin, remotely have the quality Dublin have. There's no nice way of saying that. We don't have it, we're not up there, but I just think we should be competing more consistently.
With that population base.
Absolutely, there's no doubt. I mean, there are highs. I mean, if you look at performance against Clare, then last week I was up against Cavan, it was very, very poor.
Yeah.
You look at last year, Loud in the Championship, and then what happened against Kildare, shocking. Last year, 3-15 against Derry, up against Down, never raised a gallop. It's the highs and lows inconsistency. That's what's killing us. That's what hurts me.
So you mentioned Dublin there, and they're away to Mayo, Castlebar on Saturday night. I'm going to be at that game myself. Mayo,
see you down there.
Yeah, you might give me a lift.
And no problem whatsoever. You're more than welcome.
You don't mind coming into town to get me first.
Is your car being painted as well?
That was referencing my house has been painted and I look like a holy show here today. So Mayo decimated by injuries and suspensions. Keith Higgins is actually hurling for the league with Mayo. Killian O'Connor suspended. Chris Barrett out with his knee. Donal Vaughan hip. Keegan and Seamus O'Shea aren't too far away. Brendan Harrison is a doubt. It's going to be surely a comfortable Dublin win here.
I think Dublin could do a job at Mayo this weekend. They've had the last 12 meetings, 9 wins for Dublin, 3 draws.
Yeah.
And this could be probably the biggest for a while. But you mentioned something there. Somebody please tell me, am I wrong? If you're serious about winning All-Ireland and one of your main players and All-Stars is playing with the Mayo hurlers and not playing with the Mayo footballers, someone tell me there's not something wrong.
Question marks there.
Not a serious question marks. Yeah. Whether they and Rochford will dress it up and take issue with this, that and the other. That is not right.
I'll play devil's advocate here because in general I kind of agree with you, but is there ever a case of a change is as good as a rest? He's getting to play full forward, scoring 4 points from play last weekend.
I think it's the good greatest bullshit I ever heard in my life.
Yeah?
Pure bull.
Because I spent a nice bit of it now, and you think that's the biggest bullshit I've come up with?
No, not you. I think that reason for it, Shane, I've been there trying
But what about down through the years when you have the likes of Gooch takes off the league and then he comes back and has a good championship?
He doesn't go play with the Kerry Hurlers.
I know, but he's obviously going to be tipping away in some shape or form.
I don't buy into it. One of your leaders like that, really. Wouldn't Higgins be better training or just being there at the sessions? The young guys you're trying to bring through, what he could do for them. He's one of my favourite players. Yeah. Pound for pound, one of the best in the last 10 years. What is he doing with the Mayo hurlers and not in with the footballers when they need the most?
And coming up against Dublin this weekend.
Doesn't make any sense.
Even if he does love hurling and feels for years like he's been letting the hurling side down by not lining out for them, is it possible that that's in his head?
But another weekend, could well surely. Yeah. But another weekend, this weekend against the Dubs.
But he can't just play most of the league and then just drop back for 1 week and expect to actually be up at the level to play.
Anyway, who are Mayo playing this weekend, the hurling, by the way? Does anyone know? Arrest me, case.
No, yeah.
No disrespect.
All right, fair point. Fair point. What are the prices on this game? And if you can find out the hurling,
yeah,
levels, no.
I will actually. Yeah. So Mayo at 3-1. The draw 15-2. The Dubs at 3-1 on, and the handicap is at 4. That looks tempting to me. The Dubs -4 is even.
Have it there. That's exactly the one I had down. Yeah. Dublin -4. That's the bet.
Yeah. Dublin first goal and Dublin to win is also 10-11. 10-11, sorry.
Very, very good.
Yeah, so that's not bad. Anybody going against Dublin here?
No.
Nah, it's a full house for Dublin. We'll look at the hurling quickly as well. There's a full round of football and full round of hurling, but we can't go through them all.
Can I just give one in the football just for our listeners? I do believe I've studied this one. I think if someone wants to put money in the bag this weekend and an even money bet, there's no better this weekend than Westmead at home against Sligo -3. They're the best squad, fittest squad, strongest squad since Kelly took them over. -3, even money, Westmead at home. Money in the bank.
Double up your money there, lads. So into the hurling division 1A, Wexford against Clare, I think, is a tie that kind of stands out because you've got Davy Fitz welcoming his home county to Wexford Park. Two teams that have actually been really gunning for league success this year. Do you almost see it as a bit of a inferiority complex that they're pushing so hard for the league, or it feels like they are? When the likes of Tipperary seem to be tipping away, the likes of Cork don't seem to be overly bothered. Conor Lehan and Alan Cadigan weren't risked last week against Clare. I mean, am I going to go off on a rant here as the hurling man, Bernard?
No,
do you want in?
No, I watched the whole Wexford game last weekend.
Wexford,
I did, and you know the way they battled and all that in it, I thought it was very, very good. I was really impressed with Clare, particularly in the first half
against Cork.
I think the shackles are off. There's a bit more strength and power up front. It's not as defensive game that they're allowed to express themselves. It looks like this year they could really do something. That's going to be. I think it's a very, very tight game, that one. You know, Davey won't want to lose two on the bounce. He has momentum. He's nearly paying for himself at this stage, with all the hype and everything else and the attendances and all that goes with it. So Wexford at home, very hard to beat.
Yeah, and I think Lee Chin, he was held back or tied down fairly well by Barry Heffernan, other than the penalty in the first half in the Tipperary game, but then he just rose his level early in the second half. Heffernan was taken off then after a little while. Wexford left a lot of goal chances behind them, although I still feel if they got them, Tip would have stepped up.
Look at Kieran McDonald's goal chance last week at a crucial stage.
Yeah, great save from Darren Mooney.
He was the save of the year. It was amazing.
Did you see the way he turned
around?
Amazing.
I don't think anyone gave the credit to that.
Yeah.
That save.
Did you
just
see the way
immense.
He turned around and looked over possibly towards the bench? It was like,
had to be.
It was like
Michael Ryan. I'm the man.
Yeah, it was kind of like, do you remember the time Cantona scored that lob against Sunderland? Yeah, yeah. He just turned around and just stared expressionless.
But is Leach, is there anyone better when he's in full flow at the moment than Leach in? I mean, his power, a leadership for a young man. Yeah. He's still a young guy.
He's fantastic. To be fair. And it'd be interesting to see what Wexford do with the sweeper this week, because it didn't work out for Sean Murphy and they put in Kevin Foley.
They took him off in the second half, yeah.
Kevin Foley was quite good. So it'd be interesting to see. Wexford by 1-3 points, 7-2.
Yeah, the handicap is 1 again. Another kind toss of a match, get the words out there, for this match between Wexford and Clare. Wexford 11-10 against the draws 8-1, Clare 10-11 odds on, and as I mentioned, just the 1 point in the handicap. Wexford +1 4-5, Clare -1 6-5.
And while we have you, can we get the odds on Kilkenny Tip?
Yes, you can indeed.
I think there'll be lumps cut out of each other in this one now. I think that's the one.
I actually think this is the most low wattage Tip Kilkenny game
I think there'll be sparks flying on Sunday, I really do.
Evens the two here, Shane. Evens Kilkenny, evens Tip, the draw at 8-1.
There's a
coin toss.
There's a lot of players out on both teams here, so I think you could look at it a couple of ways, that this is a chance to nail down your spot. This is a chance for Tip to put their boot on Kilkenny's throat and say, look, you're down now, we're the dominant team, or we will be. Certainly in this relationship. But Tip don't have Jason Ford, who just scored brilliant
2-9 the other night. Incredible.
Yeah, like his first goal, sensational. John McGrath is out there, both with UL this weekend in the Fitzgibbon Cup final. Barry Heffernan and Paul Maher are also with UL. Seamus Callanan's out. Cathal Barrett is back. Kilkenny are missing Porrick Walsh, John Donnelly and Conor Delaney with colleges as well. Colin Fenley, Paul Murphy, Richie Hogan out. So, like, this is what I'm saying. It's a little bit low wattage, and it feels like, yes, we can have a real cut, but does it really matter, especially for Tip? I don't think this result matters.
Just to mention very briefly as well, you mentioned a couple of players. Just in terms of the first goal scorer markets here, it's 20 minutes or double odds offer on this match in Ladbrokes shops over the weekend. So if your player nets, your first goal scorer nets inside the first 20, we will double those odds. TJ Reid, for example, 9-2, that'll turn into 9-1 should he get the first inside the first 20.
And he's still the class act up front there. Yeah. Tip as well, because they don't have Callanan, they don't have Bubbles, they don't have John McGrath, they don't have Jason Ford. Who's playing full forward? Michael Breen, I don't think he's suited playing with his back to goal at all.
I totally agree. I watched him the other night.
Yeah, he's brilliant running towards goal. I want to see him full back. Tip haven't sorted the full back line yet. I'd love to see him there. I think a good shot for the first score, down through the years, Kilkenny win an awful lot of the throw-ins against Tipperary, and their players always turn and run straight at Tip, and a lot of time it's a free. Now, Kilkenny, either from play for a point or Kilkenny point from a dead ball, that's 7-2. Now, obviously, I'm going to go with a half-time, full-time here as well. Kilkenny is 11-5. Now, this game could go either way. With so many players out, I think Kilkenny at home could just about sneak.
You mentioned a close call there. We do have a special online as well. If you're playing on Ladbrokes.com, a draw or either team to win by less than 4, 8-11.
That's not bad.
Shive evens, so 8-11 about a draw or either team to win by less than 4.
I think you're on there. I think Kilkenny at home, and you're right with the guys up front are missing for a Tip. But to me, 11-5, Kilkenny, half-time, full-time.
That's not bad.
I go for it. With Cody's mojo is back.
Oh, I wouldn't quite know. I'd be interested to see in the summer. They hammered Waterford.
I think there's something. There's a bit of bite and a bit of guts, and I think he's finding a few players.
Do you know what I'm looking forward to seeing? Galway haven't beaten Kilkenny in the Championship since 2012. I think they'll be eyeing him big time this year.
Absolutely.
And they'll want to put a rocket into him.
Just briefly as well, on the hurling front, Mayo are up against the mighty Wicklow this weekend.
Oh, the big one.
Yes, the big one. Division 2B of the hurling this weekend.
So Keith Higgins is going to play against Wicklow in the hurling, and when Mayo are depleted, he's not going to be playing with Mayo against the Dubs. Maybe it's me. I get it hard to understand that one.
Flynn slams Higgins?
No, Flynn questions his own whole thinking and philosophy about the bloody game.
I'll write it up when I get back into the office.
I rip it all up and I throw it out the window.
I'd love if Mickey Burke lined out for Meath hurlers rather than footballers this weekend as well.
I can understand that one even. Even Mickey's not he's not getting his place at the moment. Higgins would.
Some tattoos. To be fair. Right, we'll move on to the horse racing. There's loads more hurling. We could talk all day about it. Eamon, talk to us about the horse racing, the winter derby at Lingfield.
It's on the flat now. I won't be a big flat fan, but I'm actually probably going to pass this over to Shane. Sorry about that.
It is smack bang. No, I'm kind of likewise, to be honest. I'm more of a fan of the National Hunt than the flat, and it is smack bang in the middle of the National Hunt season in Britain. But the Winter Derby coming up this weekend at Lingfield Park, and Aidan O'Brien with his... I stand corrected on this, but his first runner, definitely for the best part of, I think, 15 or 16 years since he's had an all-weather runner over in Brittany. So plenty at Dundalk pretty much every week as well. But Clear Sky is going to be the one for him this weekend. 5-2 the last time I checked about Clear Sky. It's been a revelation. I think he's gone up £27 or thereabouts. He'd be in the JP McManus colours this weekend as well. So I'd watch the market on that one this weekend. Clear Sky is in the Winter Derby. It's the Group 3 at Lingfield.
The Eider Chase then in Newcastle.
It's I think Shane mentioned he's going to be a real slog. It's over. Just over four miles, probably bound to be really soft ground. It's a hard race to predict. It'll be open up field, but just a bit struggling. I was looking at this and I was just going between one and the other. I couldn't make my mind. And then my brother, he went to get his daughter from school. We always talk to a fella there, and he gave him a tip for Baywing. So very random anecdote here, but
something you can depend on.
Very dependable source apparently. But apparently this fella knows the owners.
You're some joke, you know that.
this fella knows the owners, and they've had this race mapped out for a while. And in fairness, it's been since I got the tip, it's been really well back. So now I'm telling the nation.
there's been plenty of money for several of these throughout the week. It's going to be such a slog, as Eamon mentioned there. 4 miles and a half of furlong at Newcastle on bottomless ground.
Ooh.
Is the most attritional race, one of the most attritional races you will see all season, up there with the Entry National for me. Currently at 6 is the field. Vinnie Lewis has been met with plenty of support all week, was 10s at the start of the week. Hainan is 7s, Baywing is 8-1, Eamon's tip there, west of the edge, met with support as well for Richard Newland. He likes a runner in this race. The one for me is going to be Hublon de Zobo.
Love the soft ground.
Love the soft ground. Currently 14-1. He's only ever ran over this trip on two occasions. The first occasion, I think, was Utoxeter, where he fell early enough in the race. And the other occasion was staying on fourth, beating about 9 or 10 lengths. He has run over the intermediate trips as well. He's ran in the Aintree National. The Venetia Williams horses absolutely excel in softer, heavy ground.
Mm.
Albeit he's 11 years of age, he's only £3 higher for his win at Sennin, I think it was, a couple of starts back, and that was on good to soft ground as well. He wouldn't have appreciated that whatsoever. So that for me, 14-1 looks overpriced. Hublon de Zobo at the grand old age of 11 for the Eire this weekend.
Good enough. We're going to quickly bounce through a couple of more sports just to finish up. Shane, the darts, we're off to Berlin this week.
We're off to Berlin this week, Shane, yes. Making the trip over to Germany this week. And I don't think many people would have put it to you at the start of the new Premier League darts season that Michael Smith, Bully Boy, and Simon the Wizard Whitlock will be top of the new Premier League season. In fact, the two of them were, you know, there were odds against to not even get into the lineup this season. You know, I know Simon Whitlock got to the final of the Grand Prix in the City West in Dublin, losing out to Daryl Gurney on that occasion. But looking at this week's action, Whitlock, I think, is 7-4 against Smith at the minute with Ladbrokes, and very tempting at the prices. And just one other bet as well, MVG, he's been rattling in the 180s over the last number of weeks. He's 4-1 amongst the whole lineup tonight, 4-1 to get the most 180s on the night, which I think looks value in plenty of open matches. There's been plenty of upsets from week one onwards, and there's plenty more to come tonight, I think. But I think in terms of tonight's matches, Whitlock 7-4 and MVG 4-1 for the most 180s.
Okay, so just the snooker then, the Ladbrokes World Grand Prix.
Yeah, Joe Perry, I think if he wins today, and we're kind of talking backwards a bit here between now and the time the podcast goes out this evening, but hopefully if Joe Perry wins his match this afternoon, I think he's up against Michael White. There's been plenty of seeds knocked out. Of course, Ronnie O'Sullivan just got through, scraped through against Yan from China just last night. He won by 4-3. Mark Allen, the Masters champion, is out. Kyron Wilson, the Masters runner-up, is out as well. So plenty of big seeds gone. And I think Joe Perry at around about 14 is the last time I checked. If he wins his match today, he'll be worth a bet getting into the latter stages of the Ladbrokes World Grand Prix.
Okay, and Eamon, you just wanted to throw out a quick bet for the Masters in the golf.
Yeah, well, because this goes on a Thursday, it never really does make sense to talk about golf, the current tournaments. But I've been watching the golf the past few weeks in America, and Phil Mickelson, I think he's had three top sixes past 3 weeks, and traditionally his biggest weakness is his driving, but he's actually hitting more fairways, I think I've seen him in years, and he's kind of shortened his swing, more compact. He's actually ditched his coach, which seems to have worked. And yeah, I just think with the Masters coming up in April, a few weeks away, he's 33-1 now. I think he's 33-1 each way, great each way. But he's won there three times before. He loves the place. The only thing I'm worried about, he might put too much pressure on himself when he gets there because he's playing so well. But I just think if you're dabbling in each anti-post markets, he might be a good shout.
Can I just throw this at you?
Yep.
So Dublin footballers are playing down in Mayo. Mm-hmm. The Dublin hurlers are playing Galway. If McMahon or Cooper, one of the backs, went and played with the hurlers against Galway and weren't involved in the footballers, where would he be? What would happen?
Well, they wouldn't be seen on the Dublin football panel ever again.
Rest my case. And they have 4 or 5 All-Ireland medals each.
Yeah. It's a strong point, but then again, if...
Rest my case.
Okay, you rest your case.
Conor Cannon get away with that, though.
He won't. He wouldn't.
No.
I don't think he would. And I think that's the single-mindedness that is needed.
Yeah.
Perhaps it is. The bets of the week, lads. You mentioned the Galway-Dublin hurling match there. I think Galway -8 against Dublin at 10-11 isn't bad. And the reason being is that Dublin have looked pretty bad. You know, they've looked like a bit of a club team at county level so far, and that's in Division 1B.
Shane, your own honest opinion on Gilroy being appointed hurling manager, honestly. I mean, I think it's gathering... It was a serious, serious call.
I definitely think it was the wrong call, and...
They look awful so far. I know it's early, but they do look... I've watched them against Limerick the other night. Yeah. They were dreadful.
Matty Kenny was the obvious choice. He's my manager at club level with Coolah, yes, so I know how it can sound, but he'd done it. He'd won everything. He'd won already. He knows all the Dublin hurlers.
Andy Cunningham there. I think it's a huge, huge long way back for them.
Yeah, and you can't just expect that whoever comes back from injury and whoever comes back from club duty is all of a sudden going to turn things around, because more or less all the league games will have been played. Their form has been brutal. They'll have that month in April where there's a bit of club action going on. And are they going to hit the ground running for the Kilkenny game in the opener in the Leinster Championship? Very hard to see. But just this weekend, the reason that I'm going to go Galway -8, and we don't know what sort of team they'll put out, is because Dublin were shocking against Limerick last week, lost by 12 points. But with DCU this weekend, Fergal Whiteley, Ryan McBride and Donal Burke, who all started that Limerick game, are all unavailable, so they're going to be incredibly weakened. Bets of the week for you, Eamon?
I'm going to stick with Chelsea v United, I think 23-10.
Yeah. Another bet I'd have. I, of course, couldn't finish without a half-time, full-time. Cork against Waterford in the Hurling Championship, 10-11. Not bad. Waterford are at nothing at the moment.
I'm going to go with Hublan de Zobo to win the Eider Chase at Newcastle at 14-1. I mentioned Joe Perry in the snooker, actually. I was way off with the betting. He had gone short of 14s. He's drifted all the way out to 28s. His match hasn't got underway this afternoon, but 28-1, still half the odds as well. So if he gets to the final, you get paid out each way.
Since you tipped him up, Shane.
Yeah, pretty much it must have been, yeah.
And Bernard?
Yeah, just I like the rugby when we went to 4-1, Ireland won to 5 points victory. I looked at, you look at the Meade tip, over 2.5 goals, 11-4. I think if you just want a simple money in the bank and take yourself away for a weekend on the strength of it, Westmeath -3 at home in Mullingar against Sligo, who are going dreadful, that is the bet for me.
Okay, lads, we've it all said. My thanks to Bernard, to Eamon, to Shane. We'll get you all again next week, and don't forget to follow us on Spotify and iTunes.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.